So this is culmination of the book of Psalms in the study that we've had this summer. Last week, Pastor Andy preached from Psalm 139. Today we're in Psalm 146, the halal or hallelujah psalms. Now most scholars believe that the consistency of King David's writings, his literary writings, these are very consistent with King David. So many scholars believe that King David penned or wrote these last five songs, these songs of praise to our Lord God. Psalm 146, 47, 48, 49, and 150, all of them start the very first verse, praise the Lord, and they end with praise the Lord, which means glorify our Lord, our God. Has anybody ever read or seen this book, Knowing God, by J.I. Packard? This is a Christian classic. If you've never read this book, please, please, if there's any book, Christian book that you read, read Knowing God by J.I. Packard. You cannot help but when you look and read these chapters, it's the glory, it's the adoration, it's the praise. But more importantly, it's to know God. And the height of everything in our humanity and philosophically thinking, over thousands of years with philosophers saying, what are we here for? What is our existence about? Why am I on planet Earth? What is my intention? What is my purpose for life? Well, in Psalms 146, along with J.I. Packard, Knowing God, it's to know God, it's to make Him known, and ultimately, to glorify God with your life. Every single day, to glorify God with your life. Hey, there's one thing that Satan hates more above anything. He's God's chief enemy and our enemy as well. One thing that Satan hates that he'll never, ever, ever have, and that's glory. Glory belongs to God. He hates it because one day we will be glorified like Christ with resurrected bodies. He hates you vehemently. And He doesn't want you to give your glory that is destined for our God. He does not want you to give God any glory. And so that's why He attacks us. That's why He tries to minimize our Christian testimony and our walk. And so our life is to know God, to make Him known, and to glorify God every day in our lives. And that's the destiny of every single person on this earth. But only those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, give glory to God. Hey, listen, we're going to be starting in Psalm 146. I'm going to read it. But before I do that, Johann Sebastian Bach, very famous composer. I'm sure most of you have heard some of his music that he composed. Well, he said this, all music should have no other end and no other aim in the world than to give glory to God and to the soul's refreshment in God. He said this, I'm going to head all of my musical compositions on the front of my page at the top. He would write JJ, and it means Jesus Juva, which means Jesus help me. And at the bottom of all of his compositions, of all of his music that he wrote, he had SDG. Soli Dei Gratia, which means to God alone be the praise. To God alone be the praise. And so all of our life needs to be praising God. There's five action words, or actually action steps, that I want you to write today in the little brown paper inside your bulletin for your homework. I would love for you to write down these five key words. And the first one is alive. Let's read Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. And remember, the word you can replace the word praise with glorify God, or to glorify. I will glorify the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I'm having during all of my being. Do not put your trust in princes nor in the son of man in whom there is no help or no rescue. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. And that very day his plans perish or turn to dust. Blessed is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down before him. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise or glorify the Lord. So the first word we're going to look at, the first key word or action step is alive, which means praise or glorify the Lord. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. And the word soul there is the Hebrew word nephesh. What it means is this. It means your very life, your very essence, your very existence, everything that you are, your entire being, is to give glory to the Lord God. Now think about it. What do you glorify, or how do you glorify the Lord with your lives? Think about that. Now here I'm going to ask you some philosophical questions that have been asked for thousands of years in coffee shops and thousands of years ago in the town squares or in the city squares, people asking. In Athens, we know Paul confronted some of the philosophers in the Greek city of Athens. And it's, what's important to you? Why are you here on this planet? What is your existence all about? What is your purpose in this life? What are you living for? What is your highest priority of your life? Now think about, ponder on that just for a second. R.C. Sproul stated this. He's a theologian. Whatever a person spends the most time doing in their leisure time is their highest priority. What is your highest priority? What is your purpose? What is important to you? That's very important what you say or what you think or what you perceive. Because the highest priority according to the psalmist in 146 and also to Knowing God by J.I. Packer, if you read that, the highest end of life, the highest priority is to know God, to make him known and to glorify God in our lives. It's one's very existence. The entire reason that you are alive today is to glorify God. And then it says, I will praise the Lord while I live. So what does that really mean? I'm going to praise him while I live. Well, while we're alive, our very existence, our very purpose of our life, the very intention should be to point people to others to Jesus, to give him glory through whatever we do every day of our life. Whether we live to be 100 years old, every day we give him the glory. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice. The word rejoice is the word that means happiness and joy. Now, it's directly related to God's grace. So your joy and your happiness, rejoicing as believers do, is directly related to God's grace that he gives you. And grace is undeserved favor of God, and it leads to salvation. And so because we have salvation, because we have the grace of God, God says, rejoice. And then Paul says, again, I will say it, rejoice. But you may say, Pastor Paul, you don't understand what's going on in my life today. There's confusion, or there's trouble, or tribulation, or sickness, grief. How can I rejoice? By the way, this is a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Because of the direct result of God's grace and salvation that he has implanted into your heart, into your life. And then Paul says again in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in everything. It doesn't say some things, a few things, no things. He says in everything. The good times, the problems, the troubles, the tribulations, the suffering, those things too. In everything, we give thanks to God. And then it says, why? For this is God's will for you and for me in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you and for me in Christ Jesus. Listen, as believers during our journey through life, you always face obstacles. We're always going to face trials and tribulations and grief and suffering and pain. We just are. It's part of life. Charles Spurgeon once said, to the unsaved man, this life is the closest that they will ever get to heaven, this life. even with all the peril and troubles that come along with life, this is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. But for the believer in Christ, the believer, trusting Christ as Savior, this is the closest that we will ever get to hell. Because we have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. This journey of life, which we are all currently living on this earth, can be, and maybe you're going through hardships right now as we speak. But for the follower of Jesus, those brief moments of sorrow and hardships and suffering will soon give way to a better and unbelievably everlasting life and a paradise with Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as a believer, I can choose to live a better life. As Paul instructed us in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Or in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. If I do that, even when I'm under trial and tribulation and suffering, I'm giving glory to God through my life, even in the hard things. Because God has allowed some of us to go through tough situations in our life for His will, for His intention, for His glory, for His purposes. And sometimes we'll never know why until we reach heaven's shore. But it's to refine us like gold, to make us a better vessel and testimony for the glory of God. I can live a better life, or I can choose to live a bitter life. When tragedies and troubles and sorrows hit me, I can shake my fist at God and say, why did you do this to me? I don't deserve this. And I can be bitter. And I know many people that are believers that have been bitter their whole life. And so how can we glorify God, praise the Lord every day with our lives? How can I know Him, make Him known, and glorify Him through my life if I'm bitter? And so the psalmist tells us, please, to choose better. Even through the tragedies, and David went through many of them, still to praise the Lord always, to glorify Him with your life's existence. And so there are some reasons why today, that we can glorify God. There are many reasons. Even if you're going through a tremendous trial right now or trouble as we speak, Jesus Christ is graciously extolled upon every believer an incredible banquet feast of blessings that our finite minds cannot even begin to comprehend. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can possibly comprehend what the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Here, I'm just going to give you a few reasons why we can today say hallelujah, praise the Lord with our hearts and with our minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us His eternal love, unconditional love to us. The Lord has provided His grace, undeserved favor to salvation. He has given us mercy. He has provided His forgiveness from past, present, and future sins. He has redeemed us. He purchased us out of slavery to sin, Satan, and death, and so we have redemption because of God. He's given us salvation. He has washed us and cleansed us from every sin. He has provided us justification, just as if I've never sinned. He has given us reconciliation with the Father. He has given us sanctification. He's imputed His righteousness into us. He has adopted us as His sons and children to our Heavenly Father. He has given us every royal inheritance through Jesus Christ. He has given us all of our spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He has filled us with the power of the Holy Spirit. He has sealed us by the Holy Spirit until our day of redemption. He has given us the special spiritual gifts by which we come alongside to edify the body of Christ, the church. He's given us spiritual wisdom. He has promised us eternal, glorified, resurrected bodies. And many of us can say, amen. He calls us to be His sheep because we can call Him our great shepherd. We are called the salt of the earth. We are called the light of Christ, ambassadors of Christ. We are the bondservants of Jesus Christ. We're called royal priests. But more importantly, above all things, we can say hallelujah as we have the promise of eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. And church, all people can say, praise the Lord, to think that we're going to have eternity in heaven with our Lord. The second key word that we're going to look at this morning is trust. But in this case, it's a negative. Do not trust in princes or in mortal man. The reverse, the contrast is we need to trust only and God. And the word trust here means confidence, permanent security. Now, I don't know about you, how many of you think that you can permanently have security by trusting men? They'll always fail you. Always. That's who we are. We cannot trust totally and entirely in the confidence and permanent security of men. But only, why? Because they die and they perish and they turn to dust. We're finite as men. Only God is eternal. Only God can offer us eternal life. Why do we trust in things that we cannot have any salvation? So the psalmist is saying, do not trust in princes and mortal man. Do not that offer no hope or there's no rescue of salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth like we do, is ashes. One day, all of us will die and turn to dust. So why are men constantly putting their hope and their salvation in other things and men in the world other than Christ? There's a book that I had to read for one of my college or seminary courses when I was doing research paper. It's when people are big and God is small. It's a great book. It talks about the fear of man versus the fear of God. And most people fear men way more than they ever fear God. Why is that? Because they put their hope and their faith and trust in men, which is foolish. So a believer's trust must only be in the Lord Jesus Christ, not anything to do with men or in this world. And so, typically, who do non-believers foolishly put their salvation with? Themselves. I'm fine. I can take care of myself. I can do it myself. Maybe they foolishly think, well, the government will save me. I put all my trust and hope in the government. Certainly, they're going to help me. Well, certainly governments are God-ordained, but they certainly are nothing that we should ever place our hope and trust in. Or maybe it's, well, in our president, or maybe in our king, or maybe our Congress or our parliament. I know, I'll trust famous people, musicians or actors. I'll put all of my trust in them because they're so trustworthy. Maybe I'll just put all of my trust in the pleasurable things of this world. As we know, Scripture is filled with, we cannot serve God and man. It's impossible. We cannot love the things of this world. We should never put our stake on our worship on things that cannot save us. Only God can save us. And so the psalmist is saying, do not put all of your stake and trust in people who are like you will fade away. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either is going to hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and the things of man. 1 John 2:15-17, these verses you know well. Do not love the world or anything in this world. Why? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, it is of the world. It's under the leadership of the evil one, Diabolos, Satan. For the world is passing away, is also its lust, but the one who does the will of God will last forever. And then Proverbs 3:5-6, Verdale's favorite verse, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. The third key word and action step this morning is hope. So what do we need to hope for? Well, it tells us in verse 5, blessed is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, for God is our great helper, whose hope is in the Lord your God. Where is your hope today? Where does your hope rest this morning? Is it in your 401k, your portfolio? Is it in accumulated wealth? Is it in your knowledge or wisdom? Is it in yourself? Is it in somebody else? The Lord God desires for you to have hope in him. And there's five reasons that the psalmist gives us why we can have hope, total 24/7, every second of every day, hope in our Lord God. And I'm going to give you some of those reasons. Reason number one. Listen, Jesus is the creator of the heavens and the earth. The word ex nihilo means he created out of nothing, out of thin air. Well, he created the air too. Jesus created everything that we see and don't see, the visible and the invisible in the universe. He created it all out of nothing. Men are very creative, but we created things that are already existing, but God created out of nothing. Shouldn't I put my hope in the creator of the universe? Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and they created." Colossians 1:16, Paul says, "For by Jesus all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth." Jesus, the baby that we worship at Christmas time, that baby, he created all of the universe, the massive expansion, the spectacular, the vast universe, that baby, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, created. He is the creator and the sustainer. He holds everything together. I'm going to give you just a few statistics about our universe. They're very fascinating. So, our sun, the circumference around it is 2,713,406 miles around it. That's huge. Our Earth, in comparison, there's 25,000 miles around our Earth, the circumference. You could put 1.3 million Earths inside the sun and still have room left over for 2.4 million moons. That's massive. The sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. It provides us sunlight and life on Earth. If the sun was any closer, the Earth would be too hot and life would not exist. If the sun was any further away, it would be too cold and life would not exist. A ray of light travels at 186,000 miles a second. And for you guys who love fast cars and fast things, that's 671 million miles an hour. That's like a turbocharged fast car. 671 million miles an hour, 186,000 miles a second. Unbelievable. Now, if mankind could travel that fast, the speed of light, our closest star to our sun is Alpha Centauri. It's a star system. That's our closest star next to our sun. Well, it's 4.3 light years away from the Earth. Well, how far is that? Well, each light year is 5.6 trillion miles. Do the math. It's 25 trillion miles to our nearest star system, Alpha Centauri, to our sun. 25 trillion miles away, or 4.3 light years. Now, our space vehicles that we have in the United States, when you launch them into outer space, they travel 17,600 miles an hour. That's fast. But at that speed, if we tried to reach the next star system, which is Alpha Centauri, it would take 165,000 years. That's the scope, the vastness, the massiveness of our universe. Who created that? Jesus holds those in his hand. I put my hope in him. One last thing. Everybody loves the North Star. It's off the Big Dipper, and you look, and there's the North Star. And that's navigators for thousands of years in the ocean have used the North Star as a compass to guide them. The North Star is 323 light years away from Earth. You do the math. And one last thing. The largest sun, a star in the galaxies that they've seen, there's billions of galaxies, is called the star Betelgeuse. It's 1,200 times larger than our sun. It's so big, it's 200 million miles diameter, not circumference. Diameter, 200 million miles. That star is larger than Jupiter's orbit around the sun. Massive. Who created that? Jesus Christ created that. He holds it in his hands. I have my hope in Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light. He is the one who saves me. I fear no one. The Lord protects my life. I'm afraid of no one. I put my hope in the Lord God, the God of this heaven and the earth. It's Colossians 1:27. To whom God will to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and in me. He is the hope of our glory. The second reason that believers have hope in Jesus Christ is he is unchangeable. Let's look at verse 6. The God who made the heavens and the earth and sea and all that are in them, who keeps truth forever. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," aletheia. It's the truth of God. He can never lie. He can always keep his promises for us. We can hope in him because of his truth. The third reason that believers have hope in Jesus Christ, because in verse 7, it says, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Where we have the living hope that Jesus is going to execute his perfect justice for the oppressed someday. In this world, in this lifetime, there's no such thing as perfect justice, is there? Even the most perfect justice system in the world, it fails, and it fails you and me. But God's justice will never fail. It's absolutely perfect. In fact, the word executes means to make complete and perfect. And the word for justice is the word mishpat, which means divine judgment. Perfect divine judgment is what God is going to give us. For Jesus Christ is our judge who will, at the end, judge the living and the dead. The fourth reason believers have hope in Christ. Jesus Christ is benevolent to the poor and to the widows and to the orphans and to the sick and to the infirmed. He's all powerful over all nature, all sickness, all disease. Yes, he's powerful even over death. For death has no sting for those who trust Christ as Savior. There's over 35 recorded miracles in the Gospels about Jesus and his healing of the poor and the sickness and the oppressed and the dead that he raised to life. The fifth reason that we have hope as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is verse 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who bow down to him and worship. And the Lord loves the righteous. Listen, friends, if you are believers, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are righteous. Because Jesus' righteousness is imputed in you. You had to bow your knees and bend your knees in humility to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And so the Lord looks upon us as believers, and Jesus Christ exalts the humble, and he blesses the righteous who are you. In fact, in Psalms 11, 7, for the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, the upright will behold his face. In Matthew 5, 8, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. In James 4, 10, he says, humble yourselves, bow your head, humble yourselves in the Lord, and he will exalt you. God will lift us up when we humble ourselves, but the proud will be humbled. The fourth key word and fourth action step this morning is the word protects. It tells us in verse 9, the Lord watches over the strangers. He protects them. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord Jesus Christ is a believer's protector. And the word protector is the word shamar, which means a hedge of protection around. God has placed a hedge of protection around you. Nothing. And I mean nothing, not Satan, not the pit of hell, no demon can bother you or do anything to cause you any harm apart from God's will. In fact, I'm going to go to 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. You are invincible in the Lord. Because God protects you and puts a hedge of protection around you. He is sovereign. He's transcendent. Nothing can afflict you unless God has given permission. And then when something does, you say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. I understand that I'm in this time of trouble or tribulation or sickness. I'm living in your will. I know I'm your child. For whatever reason, for whatever purpose, whatever intention, for your will, you're allowing this for me to grow in my Christian walk and my testimony to give you greater glory, Lord God. And that's why we are sometimes God's will that we suffer. Jesus Christ is our sovereign King. He's our sovereign protector for those who love him. And key word number 5, the last one, is the word reign in verse 10. The Lord shall reign. What does that word mean? It means to exercise the function of a king. And Jesus Christ is our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. He's functioning in that role right now in heaven. In contrast to the man who perishes, that we should never put trust in, is the God who reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Revelation 22:5, and there will be no longer any night, and they will no longer have need of any light or lamp of the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and forever. And in Revelation 5:11-14, it tells us this. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 times thousands. In other words, millions. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing forever and ever. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, are heard them saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. We put our hope, we put our trust, we live for our Lord Jesus Christ. We worship him, we glorify him every single day, because we will be with him forever. And this time on this earth is fleeting. It quickly vanishes like a vapor. In 1 John 5:4-5, says, "Who is that who overcomes?" It's Lord Jesus. We are victorious vicariously through the overcoming power of Jesus Christ. We have become victorious over the world, over sin, over Satan, and over death. We have victory through Christ, and thus every one of us can say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say, rejoice. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're afflicted today. You have sickness, bad news, troubles. Please, I implore you, even through this time, give God the praise in everything. Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the universe we created. The universe is so massive, we can't even put our finite minds around it. But yet you hold it in your hands. You name the stars, each star, you know them. If you created the universe, we should certainly know, Lord God, that you know us individually. You know the number of hairs on our head. You love us. You called us. We are your children. You've given us salvation. You redeemed us. You've adopted us into your family. We are your children. You love us so much to be part of your family. We put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. We live for you. Lord God, you reign forever and ever, and we one day will reign with you. We will be in glorified, resurrected bodies someday with you. This life is fleeting, it's fast, it's so quick. We're here and then we're gone. We're better to place all of our trust, all of our dependency, all of our hope is on you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can even be here today to worship you. Thank you for the very breath that you give us in our lungs to even be alive. Lord, I would pray today that you would instill in our hearts the worship that you desire, the glory you want from our lives. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us when we fail you. May we humbly bow at your feet and say, "Lord God, I want to repent. Please forgive me. Please restore the joy within me. Please stir me that I will follow the Holy Spirit, will guide me and direct me, and will live my life. The Holy Spirit will guide my eyes and my mind and my heart and my mouth and my soul. That I will give you absolute total glory to you, which you deserve from my life. Even when I go through trials and tribulations, Lord, I will lift my voice to you and say, I don't understand this, but Lord, you're sovereign, it's your will, but I glorify you and honor you anyway." Lord, for those who are going through difficult times today, you can give us peace and comfort and mercy that goes beyond all comprehension. Please, would you just wrap your loving arms around those who are hurting? Lord, let them know your presence, that you will never leave them, you will never forsake them. Walk them through this journey of difficulty right now, and with a heart of praise on their tongue. Lord, may you please your will be done in our lives. We thank you for this day that we can come and worship you. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing the doxology, which is praise again to you for your glory and your might. Thank you for all you do daily, that we will never take it for granted, but we will always be thankful with a thankful heart. And all God's people said, amen. As you leave this building today, praise the Lord in every element of your life. Be a testimony and ambassador for Christ wherever you may be, in your neighborhood, your home, your workplace, your school. May God use you mightily and powerfully for His gospel. Have a wonderful day.